not too far from here. Somebody's got nowhere else to go, and somebody needs a little hope. Not too far from here. And I may not know their name, but I'm praying just the same that you'll use me, Lord, to wipe away a tear. 'Cause somebody's crying not too far from here. Somebody's troubled and confused. Somebody's got nothing left to lose. Not too far from here. Somebody's forgotten how to trust, and somebody's dying for love. Not too far from here. It may be a stranger's face, but I'm praying for your grace to move in me and take away the fear. 'Cause somebody's hurting not too far from here. Help me, Lord, not to turn away from pain. To rest while those around me weep. Give me your strength and compassion when somebody finds the road of life to steep. Somebody's never heard of you. Somebody's searching for the truth, not too far from here. Somebody wants to hear you speak, and somebody's ready to believe, not too far from here. Now I'm letting down my guard, and I'm speak your love to every needful ear. Jesus is waiting not too far from here. Jesus is waiting not too far from here.
All right, Brother Esposito is going to come, and this is the end of our missions revival. Of course, we around here, we talk about missions much. It's huge. But we're asking you to make a decision tonight, and so let's still in our hearts, let's settle in. And I know outside, thankfully, it cooled down a little bit, but outside it may be just a little bit warm, so let's still our hearts. Let's listen attentively. Of course, we don't want to be grabbing at our phones or anything, but we're so glad to have Brother Esposito with us, and he's been tremendous help, and so listen to him this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Myers, and thank you for the wonderful job you're doing as a pastor for the last 3 years at Pacific Baptist Church, filling in for Pastor Joe. We're thankful to be here. It's been a busy day. This will be my fifth sermon of the day, and so when it's all over, by the way, Brother Morrissey has passion. Somebody say amen. That's the kind of guy you want to support. You need somebody with passion on the mission field. But earlier today, we were talking, him and I were talking, and he found out I was preaching five times today. He said, man, after I teach a Sunday school class and preach, man, I'm done. I said, you know, I get energized. I preach five, six, I think last year I preached seven times on Sunday, but at the end of the day, it is finished. Somebody say amen. But it has been a joy. Boy, we had a great service at Monterey Park, and we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. In just a moment, I'm going to have Miss Mary say a couple things, and we'll bring the microphone down to her. But I just want to say this. I was thinking about while standing here. Boy, the music has been great. Wow. I mean, you could have the altar call after the singing. The music's been great. And just being able to see family and friends has been, it's always a blessing. I was thinking, just when I was standing right over here, almost two years ago, I was with a missionary, Rodney Ruppel, in Phnom Penh. I had just arrived in Phnom Penh after spending 17 months in Laos. And I was getting some supplies from him. He does a lot of distribution. So I was getting some booklets into the Khmer language, some tracts, and just loading up on good and evil books, just a lot of good stuff. And so we were talking, you know, just missionaries talking together, and he was asking me about Laos and what it was like, and was it hard to leave? I said, yeah, it was hard to leave. We sure do love those people, and we've been back over and over again. We keep going back. And then he said, well, how long are you going to be in Cambodia? I said, man, I have no idea. I said, I told Brother Board I'd be here at least a year. I said, year, 2 years, I don't know. He said, well, where will you go next? I have no idea. Where the Lord leads, I'll follow. Amen. Thank God for a wife who's willing to live out of the suitcases. Back there, my paparazzi queen, she's the one taking all the pictures. So, then he said something, and I just thought about it. It tied in with a couple things. He said, man, that's got to be hard. To be with people that you love and you invest your life into them and then you up and leave. I said, yeah, it is. I said, I spent 18 years at Pacific Baptist in Long Beach. Of course, my children are here, my grandchildren. Yeah, it's hard. And then when we're getting ready to leave Cambodia, some of the guys that I'm really close to, some of the Cham guys, former Muslim, guys I've discipled, I've spent a lot of time with. I go soul winning with them, spend hours and hours every week. One of them, many of you know Vinak, over and over again. He said, no, I know God's going to tell you to stay in Cambodia. I know. And I said, well, he hadn't told me yet. We had a conversation one day. It was just real. He wanted to take me out to eat. And it's one of those, you don't like those kind of conversations. You're saying goodbye. You know, it's the last time you're going to talk to one another, and you're so staring at each other. You don't know what to say. He was just saying some nice things and gave me a nice letter. He said, please read it when after you leave and that type of thing. And he said, I don't want you to go, and we don't want you to go. And I said, Vinak, to be honest with you, I don't want to go. I love you guys. I said, but if I wasn't willing to say goodbye to my family and friends in California to do the will of God, then I never would have met you. And I never would have been able to invest in your life. And I just want to say this. When you follow the will of God for your life, and when you invest your lives in people, your life in the lives of others, it's worth it. And the more you invest in, I've got... Now the verses where Jesus talks about, I'll give you families and houses, it makes sense now because I have family in Laos. Every time I go to Laos, I have a big family in Laos. I have a big family in Cambodia. I have family now in China. I have family in America. And now I understand what Jesus was teaching his disciples. He said, if you're willing to follow me wherever I lead, if you're willing to follow me wherever I lead you to go, you're going to have family. You're going to have a really big family. And I just want to say it is worth it all. And I know that God has been stirring many of your hearts about the matter of missions. And it's hard to say goodbye. It's never easy. I was in China. You know what? Do we have water up here? I'm starting to get it. Thank you, sir. I was in China a couple weeks ago. I travel a lot alone. I don't want to drag my wife with me everywhere we go. I was in China. I was in a hotel room when I got a text message about my aunt who's got cancer and she was getting ready to have surgery. And I'll be honest with you, I was I was discouraged. I don't think I was upset at God, but I was saying, God, what am I doing here? Why am I in Asia? I have an aunt who is she's going to be laying in the hospital. She's in the hospital now. She's laying in the hospital. She's got cancer, and they're just going to do major surgery. She's 80 years old, and I ought to be home with her. But God came to me and said, you're doing what I've called you to do and what I've led you to do. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But before we do, we've been talking about the book, Keep the Dream Alive. And if I could get somebody to bring, Tim or Daniel, one of you guys, can you bring, your mother is sitting back here. She's going to talk a little bit about this book. I wrote this book because last year I wrote a book about the 1040 window, and I felt like there was something missing. And what was missing was really the story about Pastor Joe, how this church started and so on. So we wrote the book, and I do encourage you to get it. But this is going to tie in with the part two of the message tonight. So, Miss Mary, go ahead.
Brother Meyer says I can stay sitting down. Well, for 28 years, I've had the privilege of being able to be a part and see what God's done since he started Pacific Baptist Church so long ago. And for 25 years, I got the privilege to be pastor's wife. And just to see how God, like Pastor always talked about the Polaroid picture, if you were here anytime you heard him talk about God developing the picture, and just how God just little by little developed the picture of the purpose for our church, and how that included Southeast Asia. And 3 years ago, everybody's heard the story over and over again, but for some reason that I don't understand and nobody understands, God decided to silence my husband's voice of being able to preach and encourage us to fulfill that vision. And Pastor always thought we were a unique church, and God built us up for a special purpose to go and reach the world. And for some reason, he decided not to let him speak audibly with his voice. And for the last 3 years, and one of the things that I really had a burden about in the early days, and something that maybe I wept the most tears about, was just begging God that Pacific Baptist Church would continue that vision, and that we would never change, and that we would continue to fulfill the purpose that God had for us and what we call the dream that he put in my husband's heart. And I did want to take just a minute to thank Brother Myers for all that he's done these few years leading us and helping us to just keep on keeping on, and our staff and our people and their faithfulness. And praise the Lord that it's his church, and he's just kept his church growing and new people coming. And God's done so much, and I'm thankful for that. And I want to thank Brother Esposito for putting this book together. And he's been pushing me for a while to write a book, and I haven't gotten around to it, so he helped me out a little bit. But this book is really, it's kind of the Polaroid picture that we talk about. It's like from the beginning of the click of the shutter. I guess people don't know what that means these days. But when the picture was snapped on the Polaroid picture, and the book just shows the developing of the picture. It tells the story of Pacific Baptist Church, really, and what God's done, and the vision. And Brother Johnny basically asked me what would be my hope, to share what my hope would be for the book. And I guess that a few things. I would hope that, one, that new people at Pacific Baptist Church, that just maybe selfishly, I would like for you to get the book and read it, because I think that you would get to know my husband a little bit, and maybe that's selfish, but I would love for you to get to know him. And I think through the book Brother Johnny wrote, you would get to. And then as newer folks, you would learn about the heritage of our church, and not just the heritage, but how it ties in with what we all believe God has for us to do. And then if you've been around a long time, it's a really good reminder of what God's done, how much Amen. He's done and has been doing and what he's even doing today and plans to do. And maybe it would just revive the vision a little bit in our hearts. And I would pray that the book, I read the book and Brother Johnny asked me to read the original or the first copy of the book and kind of to see what I thought and if I thought anything needed changed. And when I emailed him, I said, what came to my mind was the verse that talks about the corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And I thought about my husband's voice, in a sense, dying out. But that since then, how many people I hear that go on our website and they look at the preaching, and I thought the book also could just be a way that his voice could continue on and the vision for the 1040 window and specifically China. And then I would have a hope last that God would just challenge all of us to see where our place would be in that vision. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Mary. You know, it's like Miss Mary said, 3 years ago, Pastor's voice was silenced. And, you know, for those of us who visit him on a frequent basis, you know, he could talk a little bit, not a whole lot, not very loud. Whereas one time he echoed from this pulpit and with passion. And so over the last few years, you know, to keep the dream alive, don't let the dream die, those phrases have become catchphrases for some of us. The first Sunday morning after Pastor was hospitalized, of course, we were in the midst of a missions revival. We were contemplating, should we even cancel the revival? I mean, you know, Pastor's in the hospital. I mean, at that time, we thought he was going to die. We didn't think he was going to survive. And, of course, I asked Miss Mary, and she said, no, my husband would have wanted us to have the missions revival and continue on, because that was his passion. Of course, his last words that the kids heard were China or bust. And so what we're trying to do through this book is we're trying to just let his voice speak. I'll be at some Bible colleges over the next couple months, and I'm going to challenge young preacher boys. God spoke to a Bible college student many, many years ago, put a dream in his heart, and did a mighty thing. And he could do a mighty thing in your life. And I say that to the Pacific Baptist Bible College students. And so I do encourage you, look, this is not about making money. And this is your heritage. This is your legacy. This is about the man who founded this church and laid the framework for this church and for 25 years labored. And God put something on his heart that most of us didn't understand, and I've mentioned this before, us missionaries in Southeast Asia, we didn't even like it. We felt like we were the stepchildren. Now it was all about China, you know. But I encourage you to get it, and we've spent a lot of time on that, but it was worth it. Let's all stand. Please turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses. We're not going to take a long time because the most important aspect of tonight is business meeting time. And in just a few moments, Pacific Baptist Church of Long Beach, Monterey Park has already done it, but in just a few moments, Pacific Baptist Church of Long Beach, you're going to have a business meeting. This business meeting is going to determine the eternal destiny of many men, women, and young people in Southeast Asia and, Lord willing, in China, because that's where we're on our way, Lord willing, as long as God doesn't shut any doors. Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses from chapter 1, then we're going to go to chapter 2. We'll make a couple comments to review from this morning, and then we'll just take a couple moments, a new thought tonight, and then we're done. We'll turn it over to Pastor Myers. Nehemiah chapter 1, I'll read out loud. You read along with me silently. Let's begin in verse number 2, please. That Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I, Nehemiah, asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction. Can I get you to say great affliction? People all over the world are in great affliction. There's physical affliction, but the greatest affliction is spiritual affliction. No chance, no hope of hearing the gospel. My wife and I were flying from Taiwan. We were flying to Taiwan on our way here. We sat next to a young lady from Myanmar. She's 23 years old, coming here as a foreign exchange student. She has never, 23 years old, has never met a Christian in her life. 58-year-old lady, I've told you the story before, named Oi in Thailand. I'm talking to her. I said, do you have any Christian friends? And she said, I've never met a Christian in my life. 28-year-old girl in Cambodia in my house. We invited her over to eat, my wife and I. And I think Sue may have been there at the time. I don't remember, but her name's Noreen. And she works at a coffee bean. And we were trying to share the gospel with her. I opened up the Bible, and she asked me, what is that book? I said, well, this is a Bible. Have you ever seen a Bible? She said, I've never heard of the Bible. 28 years old. And I could tell you story after story after story like that. Spiritual affliction around the world. And reproach. So all Jerusalem also, it's broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Go to chapter 2, if you would. By the time you get to chapter 2, Bible commentators, Bible scholars tell us this is at least 2 or 3 months later. So this burden that we talked about this morning that is on Nehemiah's heart, it was not a flash in the pan. It was just not a few moments, if you would. This thing's carrying with him for a few months. He's the cupbearer for the king. He's in the king's presence. He's serving the king, and he has a conversation with the king. We'll start in verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Don't have time to talk about it. I'm sure you've heard it before. If you work for the king, you don't want to be sad in his presence, okay? So he's afraid. The king sees he's got the mook too. He's not smiling. He's not happy. And now Nehemiah's afraid. Verse number 3, he gets a little boldness up, Nehemiah, and said unto the king, this is Nehemiah, let the king live forever. This is called being buttering up the king, okay? Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. This is one of those quick arrow prayers. He doesn't have time to get on his knees. We're not going to take 30 days of fasting and prayer. Just a quick prayer. Oh, God, give me wisdom that I say the right things. If I say the wrong things, I may be in trouble. Verse number 5. And I, Nehemiah, said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me. Can I get say, send me? If thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? Notice these words. So it pleased the king to send me. Can I get say, send me? Send me, and I set him a time. Father, I pray that you bless our time together. We've taken a lot of time. We were talking about the book, and we've got a very important business meeting to care for. Hanging in the balance, weighing in the balance, are men and women who are lost without Christ. Many of them will never have a chance to hear the gospel. And I pray, Father, that you would come down and meet with us during this time of preaching, and you would meet with us during the business meeting as we vote yes for the souls of men. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done. We pray that you would do something that we cannot do, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple minutes real quickly to review this morning. This morning we talked about Nehemiah. He's living a very comfortable life. He's serving the king. He's working in the king's palace. No doubt he has a good, he's got a good job. He's got good money. He's got nice clothes. And a lot of times we as Christians, after we've been saved for a while, if we're not careful, we get really comfortable. And the truth of the matter is, missions revival, as I told Monterey Park today, missions revival is a time sort of to remind us that there's something outside of our city, and there's something outside of our state, and there's something outside of even our country. There are some needs. There's great affliction. And so once a year, sometimes twice a year, we gather together, and it's like Hannah and I showing up to Nehemiah, and we say, okay, tell us what's going on in the other parts of the world. And so we show some video footage. I was going to show you some of China tonight, but we're not going to have time. And we show you video footage, and whether it's the Philippines, whether it's Santa Ana, whether it's the 1040 window, China, Southeast Asia, we see these things, we hear these things, and then all of a sudden, Nehemiah heard those things, and immediately, no arguing with God, no dialogue with God, immediately his heart is broken, and it's filled with compassion, and he begins to weep. And I don't remember if I mentioned it this morning. Don't buy into John Wayne Christianity. That's what we sell in America. Don't buy into John Wayne Christianity. Jesus wept all the time, and he wept publicly. He wasn't afraid to weep in front of men. Look at, when was the last time you wept for someone or something? And I'm not talking about a television show. Somebody say amen. And look, I know what I'm talking about. I used to weep. I'd watch a movie, and it's a heartbreaker. Look, that's not real. That's fantasy. There are people lost without Christ. When was the last time you wept? And he weeps, and he mourns, and he fasts. And like I said this morning, this is not a scheduled fast. This is something where he's so burdened. He's so heartbroken. He forgets to eat. He has no desire to eat because he wants God. And he wants God to do something. He begins to pray, and he prays. And if you read his prayer, we didn't read his prayer. His prayer is a powerful prayer. And that's one way we know that Nehemiah walked with God in a pagan land. And may I say this to you as Americans? You live here in America. Of course, those of us in Southeast Asia, we're heartbroken. We hear the news, and we read. It's like, oh, you've got to be kidding, man. It's just really getting really bad. But it doesn't matter how bad it gets. You can live with God. You can live for God. You can walk with God in a pagan land, just like Nehemiah. You say, how do you know Nehemiah walked with God? Because as soon as he heard the bad news, his heart was broken. You know what I've found? When you're living a comfortable life and you're not walking with God, you hear those things, it doesn't affect you a lick. It doesn't affect you a lick. Over the next few months, I'll be preaching to hundreds, thousands of people. And I'm going to tell you, the vast majority are saved. They're on their way to heaven, and they really don't care. And to be quite honest with you, the vast majority are saying, can we just get him out of here, and can we just go back to heaven, church? But not Nehemiah. He hears, his heart's filled with compassion. He begins to pray. And then all of a sudden in chapter 2, we get to chapter 2. It's 2 or 3 months later. He's still got a broken heart. The king confronts him on the broken heart. And he says, well, what's the problem? Why are you sad? He said, you know, how can I not be sad? Folks, did I say something? How can we not be sad? When we understand the spiritual affliction that's in the world. Look, we don't have the time. I have all the numbers, and we could show you the numbers. We taught an intensive in the college. There are people groups. There are people groups with over 100 million people in the people group. Percentage of Christians, 0.0%. Those are people. They're living souls. And they're going to go to hell. That should move our hearts. I was in China. When I was in China on one of my trips, 4 trips in the last 6 or 8 months, and one of my trips to China, I was, Beijing. Oh, Kunming, China. And we made a couple visits, and really fruitful visits, and some people that the missionary knew, and we met a couple that had been Christians. They got saved later on in life in their late 40s, 50s. The man looked at me, spoke fairly good English, and he looked at me, he said, for the first 27 years of my life, Karl Marx was my prophet. He said, the party was my God, the Communist Party. But he's saved today. Amen. But all over China, 3-5% of the nation professes Christ, and 77% of America. And I have to constantly remind you. You say, oh, yeah, but 77% aren't Christian. Neither are 3-5% in China Christian. Neither are the 2% in Cambodia Christian. And Nehemiah is brokenhearted, and the king asks him, he says, how can I not be broken? How can I not be moved? I've heard about something in a faraway land. I've heard about something people I've never met. I don't know these people. Their culture is different. Remember, even though Nehemiah is a Jew, he's never been in Judah. He's never been in Jerusalem. It would be like some of our Khmer folk, like I said this morning, some 100 years from now, their great-great-grandchildren, they have no interest of going back to Cambodia. They have no desire. They don't even have the Cambodian culture, the language anymore. That just like me, I'm Italian and Irish. I have no desire to go back to Italy or Ireland. I don't know anything about it. I don't even like lasagna. My brother loved it, but I don't like it. Amen. So Nehemiah hears, and because he's close to God, his heart is broken, and it stays broken. And all of a sudden, the king asks a question. The king says, which tells me they must have had a really good relationship, and God's favor was in his life. The king says, what can I do for you? And in verse number 5, if you still have your Bible open, it says this, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me. I want you to think about this for a moment. I got to move rapidly. I want you to notice what he says. Send me. Send me. You know, Nehemiah worked for the king. You know, Nehemiah knew a lot of Jewish brethren there in captivity. Nehemiah could have said, hey, I've got a lot of Jewish brothers who don't work in the palace. Can you send them? Somebody say amen. You know what I have found in my life, and I have found it normally in most of our lives, when God begins to stir our heart, and God begins to move in our hearts, you know what we do? We say, somebody needs to go. Somebody say amen. Somebody needs to go. But that's not what Nehemiah said. He said, send me. He said, send me. Then in verse number 6, notice what it said. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king. By the way, I forgot to mention this. The king is with a little K there. Somebody say amen. Okay, it's a little K. So it pleased the king to send me. Can I get say send me? It pleased the king to send me. Nehemiah says, look, there's a problem. The king says, what can I do for you? Nehemiah says, send me. And the Bible says it pleased the king to send him. Now, let me just say this. Little commercial break. Just 2-minute rabbit trail. Then we'll get back to the crux of the message. I promise you, anyone in here tonight, I promise you, if you will look at the king and say, send me, the king with a capital K, I promise you, it will please the king to send you. Oh, he got real quiet on that one. Somebody say amen. I didn't get called to China. I didn't get called to Laos. I didn't get called to Cambodia. People say, how'd you get, what kind of missionary call do you have? As far as I know, I don't have one. I heard about the need. My heart was broken. I said, send me. And it has pleased the king to send me. And to be quite frank with you, the last 3.5 years have been the most fruitful years of my 30-something years in ministry. I'm thankful. Now, let's get back to the crux of the message. Now, the truth of the matter is this. The vast majority of us are not going to go physically. But you're still supposed to say, send me. And God may not allow you, or God may not send you to go physically, but he will expect you to go in prayer and giving. There is no other option. I have to get on a plane and go, or I have to stay and give. Amen. Somebody say amen. There's no other option. That's what missions revival is all about. Missions revival is all about, just like this story, like I said this morning, we usually use Ezra and Nehemiah for building programs, and I'm all for it. But this is, to me, this is a classic missionary book. A man goes to a faraway land. He hears about a need, and he goes to a faraway land, and he does a great work in a faraway land. By the way, just like Pacific Baptist Church is doing a great work in a faraway land, and we showed you the slides on Thursday night, and man, God is doing some amazing things. You know why? Not just because some men and women got on a plane and went over there. We couldn't go over there if you didn't support us to go, if you didn't pray for us, if you didn't give. See, that's, we're all sent to go. Somebody say amen. The Great Commission says, go ye into all the world. It doesn't say that's not for the apostles. Some people believe that. That's not just for the pastors and the missionaries. Some people believe that. That's for everybody. Well, okay, so how does that tie in with we're not all going to get on a plane, we're not all going to get on a boat? No, but we're all going to get in the spirit of this thing, and we're going to pray, and we're going to give. We're all going together. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Amen. So tonight, you will have the opportunity. Not only the opportunity, you will have the privilege in just a few moments to say to the King with a capital K, send me. Send me. One missionary wrote these words, and I use this quote quite frequently. He said, the command has been to go, but we have stayed. In body, gifts, prayer, and influence. He, God, has asked us to be witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But 99% of Christians have kept puttering around in the homeland. Nehemiah was living a very comfortable life in a pagan land. As I said this morning, probably the greatest hindrance to the fulfillment of the Great Commission is comfort. You know why people don't go? It's not the comfortable thing to do. Somebody say amen. You know why people don't give? It's not the comfortable thing to do. Because see, if I give, the money that I'm giving for those who are going could have been spent for more comfort creatures. Somebody say amen. 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 I could have got the new iPhone 7 or 8 or whatever it is, water resistant, talks to you, flies in the air. You know, somebody say amen. I mean, there's always a new toy to buy. Somebody say amen. Now, we don't have enough to give so people who are dying without Christ can be saved, but we can buy the newest toy. Come on. Come on. Nehemiah is living a comfortable life, and one day he hears something. He doesn't even see it. My eye affects my heart, but he doesn't even see it. He hears something. What he hears breaks his heart. Causes him to pray and causes him to go. Now, all of us tonight can go in one way or the other. I'm looking for recruits who will volunteer to go to China. It's not going to be easy. All of our other teams, Thailand, Laos, and Cambodia, when our missionaries went over there, they already spoke the language. They already understood the culture. I can't even order a cup of tea in China. Somebody say amen. It's just, it's rough. At least in Southeast Asia, they speak English at the restaurants. Everywhere I go, they have to show me pictures, and I get the picture wrong. Amen? But I am looking for men and women who will say, look, I want to spend my life for Christ. C.T. Studd said this, if Christ be God who died for me, there's no sacrifice too large for me to give for him. But most of us aren't going to go physically, but everybody tonight can go spiritually with your prayers and with your giving. And where your treasure is, you're there. Let's stand.